Give me one more piece of paper. Okay, thanks.
Great. You're putting three in there?
A lawyer and a tattoo artist, a fundraiser and a retired social worker, a husband and his wife who is a former drug user. These were just a few of the 25 pairs of hands that set to work Wednesday night building naloxone kits. They formed an assembly line, folding information sheets and sliding syringes and vials of naloxone into slender brown plastic bags. Virginia, a budding tattoo artist, worked as her young child slept strapped against her chest in a sling. She told me she had more than one reason for pitching in.
So his father basically chose drugs over us, which, I mean, is his choice, but I also have an older brother who also uses, and I'm waiting for the day they show up on my doorstep. And then we have a lot of homeless people that stay across the street from us and behind us at the tattoo shop, and they show up all the time, and they ask about getting tattoos, but they're just way too messed up, and so I'm waiting for the day that one of them is OD'd, like, out of our back door or on our front step.
Francesco said he wanted to participate after seeing drugs affect many of his friends over the past decade.
It was about a week ago, one of my really good friends' life was saved by, and that was a paramedic administered. I fortunately have never been in that position, but I have been in situations where I've seen someone overdose, and we didn't have that on hand. For a while, we didn't know it existed, so.
Naloxone is effective in reviving someone who has overdosed on an opioid. The increase in opioid overdose cases in the area has the Indiana Recovery Alliance stepping up its efforts to distribute the drug, and not just to drug users. Many people participating in the kit building, like Vanessa and Francesco, were taking kits with them in order to be prepared if they found themselves in proximity to someone overdosing. Chris Abert, director of the Indiana Recovery Alliance, explained how to resuscitate someone who is overdosing by following a few easy-to-remember steps. First, know the signs of an overdose. No response to stimulation, slowed breathing, blue lips. Abert recommends first, aggressively rub your fist across the person's sternum.
It really does hurt. If you do that to a person and they're just like sleeping or drunk, they're going to come out of it and be very upset with you, right? So if they don't respond to that, there's a lot of other things that happen when people overdose, like their pupils get small, raspy breathing, their pulse slows. And we don't have time to check for that. We're going to do the sternal rub and immediately start rescue breathing.
When someone overdoses, they stop breathing. Abert says rescue breathing is the most important thing he teaches because pushing oxygen into their system reduces the possibility of irreparable damage or death.
So the way you do rescue breathing is you're going to put them on their back. You're going to tilt the head back. The reason you tilt the head back is because you're going to open up the airway. If you don't tilt the head back and you start doing rescue breathing on me right now, there's a good chance you're going to fill my belly up. Right? And once my belly gets to a certain point, I'm going to throw up on you. So if you don't want to do that, and you can actually look down when you're doing the rescue breaths and watch the chest rise and fall to make sure that you're actually doing it in the lungs. So everybody, does that make sense to everybody? So I put the person on their back, I tilt their head back, I clear the airway, you know, to make sure there's nothing in there. I'm just going to pinch the nose and give two quick breaths. That's it. Right? And then from then on, I'm going to do one quick breath every 5 seconds.
Next, call 911. Abert says it's important to keep up the rescue breathing while you're waiting for EMTs, and if the person is not responding, it's time to inject the naloxone. Naloxone can be delivered in different ways. It comes in a nasal spray as well as an EpiPen-like device, but those are expensive, which is why Abert is packing vials of naloxone and syringes in his kits. He demonstrated how to draw the naloxone into the syringe.
And then I'm going to inject it in the arm, the buttock, or the thigh. You can inject it in any muscle. You can inject it in the tongue. You can inject it in the chest. You could do it anywhere. The reason we suggest those is there's less nerves, less possibly harmful places that you might hit.
Abert says it will take a couple seconds for the naloxone to kick in.
So what happens when I inject the naloxone is that the naloxone goes through my body, and it has a really strong affinity for my opiate receptors. Right, much stronger than opiates. So since that affinity is stronger, it actually kicks the opiates out of my brain and attaches itself in their place. Does that make sense to everybody?
Abert says if the person doesn't come out of it right away, it's important to keep up the rescue breathing until help arrives. And if they do come out of it,
And I'm just going to say, I love you. You had an overdose. You're going to be okay.
Abert advised the group that resuscitating someone who's overdosing can be an emotional experience.
My own personal experiences are that, you know, the last time it happened, somebody pulled up to the office with this young man because they were afraid to go to the hospital. He was African-American, but you could still see that he was, like, purple. I had the girl doing the rescue breathing while I got the naloxone ready, and I'm injecting with the naloxone. I just turned to start crying because they're already so upset. I don't want to see him, like, you know, the person they came to like, and I'm, so it's very emotional, I guess what I'm saying.
Vanessa, Francesco, and several others told me they feel prepared now and will be able to administer naloxone should they have to. That includes Claire Wilson, a retired social worker with an aversion to needles.
I'm not a big needle. I'm not thrilled with needles, but if you're saving somebody's life, yeah, I could do that.
For WFHB, I'm Sarah Vaughn.